Welcome to our deep dive into a super cool topic.
Oh, this is gonna be good.
Yeah. Empowering young innovators.
Nice.
We've got a whole stack of articles here from InventFuture.Global's Future newsletter.
Okay.
Issue number 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, you know, fostering creativity.
Right.
And celebrating those big aha moments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get ready, because we're gonna meet some amazing young minds.
I'm ready.
Who are already changing the world.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
It's incredible to see what happens when, you know, when that spark of innovation is like nurtured and encouraged.
Right.
I'm really curious to see how Invent Future Global approaches this whole thing.
Well, Julie Shively.
Okay.
She's the founder.
Right.
Sets the stage beautifully in her opening note.
Mm-hmm.
Igniting the spark.
Oh, nice.
It's called.
I like it.
She envisions this world where everyone is empowered to innovate.
Right.
Explore different cultures.
That's huge.
And collaborate to solve global challenges.
It really makes you think.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Especially with your work in listeners' field where, you know, fresh perspectives are so valuable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It really highlights the need to prepare future generations.
Oh, sure.
For a world that demands adaptability and creative problem solving.
100%.
Right.
So how does Invent Future Global actually put this vision into practice?
They do some really interesting things.
Oh.
For starters,
yeah.
They have these amazing young ambassadors.
I've heard about these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take Suchita Srinivasan, for example.
Okay.
She's a high school junior.
Wow.
Who's already using her inventions to tackle tough issues.
Okay.
Like domestic violence and gun violence.
Really?
She even wrote a children's book.
No way.
About coding and business.
That's so cool.
It is.
It's interesting how she combines her technical skills with a strong social conscience.
Yeah.
It's not just about creating cool gadgets. It's about using innovation to address, like, real-world problems.
Exactly.
Does Invent Future Global provide any specific guidance?
That's a great question.
On merging technology with social impact.
That's a great question. And one we should definitely explore further.
For sure, yeah.
But first, let me introduce you to another ambassador.
Oh, okay.
Tywin Likewin Bugayon.
Oh, okay.
He's a 10-year-old from the Philippines.
Amazing.
Who went from shy to confident presenter.
Really?
All because he's passionate about saving the planet.
Oh, that's a good one.
I know.
That transformation is really inspiring.
Yeah.
It reminds us that age is no barrier to making a difference.
Right.
But speaking of age,
yeah.
Do you think there's a risk of pushing kids too hard, too fast, in the name of fostering innovation?
That's a valid concern, for sure.
Yeah.
It's important to strike a balance
between
nurturing their passions and ensuring they still have a childhood.
Of course.
And, you know, speaking of diverse passions, we've also got Sanjay Vinath Kumar.
Okay.
A 7th grader who's into science.
Nice.
Architecture.
Oh, wow.
And engineering.
Triple threat.
He's even in the Civil Air Patrol.
That's amazing. It seems like Invent Future Global attracts a real mix of young minds.
They do.
It's a testament to the broad appeal of innovation and the potential it holds for young people from all walks of life.
Right.
It's making me rethink my own assumptions about, you know, who can be an innovator.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, beyond individual stories, Invent Future.
Yeah.
Global provides platforms for young innovators.
Okay.
To showcase their big ideas.
Awesome.
One example is the International Creativity and Innovation Awards.
Okay.
Or ICA.
Got it.
It's not just a showcase, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's a launching pad for real impact.
That's what's fascinating here.
Right.
It's one thing to come up with an idea.
Yes.
But it's another to see it implemented and making a real difference.
Totally.
Tell me more about these real world impacts.
Well, take Maria, for instance.
Okay.
At just 13.
Wow.
She developed a sustainable water filter.
Okay.
Using recycled materials.
That's amazing.
Her project started small in her school's science club.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's helping people in need.
Wow.
Around her school.
That's a powerful example.
Right.
It challenges the assumption that young innovators only have, you know, pie in the sky ideas.
Yeah.
Maria's story shows how a simple practical solution can make a tangible difference.
Totally.
It also raises an interesting question.
Yeah.
What kind of support does ICIA provide to help these young inventors turn their ideas into reality?
Good point.
Yeah.
We should definitely dig deeper into that.
For sure.
And there are so many other examples.
Okay.
Leo, a 16-year-old,
All right.
designed a virtual reality app
Nice.
To make learning history more engaging.
Oh, cool.
Knowing your interest in gaming and education.
Yeah.
I thought you might find that interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It speaks to the potential of using technology to create immersive and interactive learning experiences.
Totally.
It also highlights the global reach of this whole movement.
Yeah.
Think about it. ICA has hosted events in 16 countries.
I know.
That's pretty impressive.
It is.
Yeah.
But amidst all this excitement, there's also a bit of a wake-up call.
Okay.
Professor Jim Friedman,
all right,
from the 2021 Global Innovation Field Trip, presented some alarming insights.
Oh, what's that?
Apparently, five-year-olds
okay.
score a whopping 98% on creativity tests.
Wow.
But that number plummets to just 2% for adults.
Wow, that is a significant drop.
I know.
This makes me reflect on, like, our own educational journeys.
Right.
Did our schooling nurture or stifle our creative potential?
That's a great question to consider.
Yeah.
It seems societal pressures and standardized education might be prioritizing conformity over creativity. Remember those standardized tests we talked about?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It seems we start off encouraging exploration and free learning when kids are young. But as they get older, the focus shifts to memorization and right answers.
Right.
Perhaps we need to rethink how we assess learning and success.
Yeah.
But is this all doom and gloom?
Not at all.
Okay.
The newsletter shares a heartwarming story of a five-year-old Sydney. She turned toilet paper rolls into an evening gown.
What?
I know.
That's amazing.
And eventually launched her own clothing line. Passions by Mayhem.
I love it.
Her parents, instead of discouraging her, celebrated her creativity.
It's a wonderful reminder that nurturing a child's imagination can lead to amazing outcomes.
Absolutely.
It makes me think of Professor N's approach to invention.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of seeing it as something exclusive.
Right.
He emphasizes that anyone can be an inventor by simply remixing the world.
Yes.
I love that.
He outlines seven stages of this remixing process.
Okay.
It starts with observing user needs.
Which seems crucial, right?
It does.
You can't create a meaningful solution if you don't understand the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I often see that overlooked, even in my own field.
For sure.
But I'm curious.
Yeah.
How does Professor N suggest we go about observing these user needs?
Right.
Is it simply a matter of asking people what they want?
Yeah, like how do you go about that?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
According to him.
Okay.
The next stage involves digging.
Okay.
Exploring existing solutions from different cultures and fields.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the importance of cross-disciplinary collaboration.
Yes.
By bringing together perspectives from different fields, we can spark new ideas.
Right.
And create truly innovative solutions.
Absolutely.
But doesn't this approach risk becoming overly reliant on existing ideas?
That's a good question.
Where does original thought come in?
That's where the transforming stage comes in.
Okay.
You take those diverse ideas and start combining and fusing them to create something new.
Got it.
Professor N uses a term you fusioning.
Interesting.
To describe the process of adding your unique perspective and vision.
I like that.
It's about taking those existing elements and infusing them with your own creativity.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But what I find intriguing is his emphasis on sharing ideas and seeking feedback.
Absolutely.
Which is something you've always championed, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It's so important to get outside perspectives and constructive criticism.
Uh-huh.
It helps refine our ideas and avoid potential blind spots.
Right.
It's also a crucial step in building confidence.
Yes.
And learning how to effectively communicate our ideas to others.
Absolutely.
I wonder, though, what kind of platforms or communities does InventFuture.Global provide to facilitate this kind of collaborative feedback?
That's something we should definitely explore further.
For sure.
But first, let's shift gears and talk about the Global Youth Invention Summit.
Okay.
Or GYIS.
Got it.
It's an international competition that brings together young innovators.
Nice.
To showcase their inventions and foster cultural exchange.
That's great.
The 2024 summit was held at the University of Connecticut.
Awesome.
And featured students from all over.
Cool.
Singapore, Mexico, China.
Wow.
They even went on sightseeing trips.
No way.
To Harvard, MIT.
That's so cool.
And some amazing museums.
What a fantastic blend of education and inspiration.
It is.
It's not just about competition.
Right.
It's about exposing these young minds to different cultures, ideas, and possibilities.
Totally.
It makes me think of your own experience studying abroad.
Oh, wow.
How did that shape your perspective on innovation?
It was truly transformative.
Yeah.
I learned so much from interacting with people from different backgrounds
right.
and seeing how they approach problem solving.
That's awesome.
But back to GYS.
Yeah.
The highlight was a hackathon at Trinity College.
Now, that's what I call hands-on learning.
Well, you know.
It's one thing to present an idea.
Yeah.
But it's another to actually work together, roll up your sleeves, and tackle a real problem.
Totally.
What kind of challenges did they address in this hackathon?
We'll dive into the specifics in the next part of our deep dive.
Oh, man, a cliffhanger.
I know.
Okay.
But for now, let's turn our attention to something called Cloud Club Collective.
All right.
They published a book called 101 Daydreams.
All right.
All about making imagination a daily habit.
That's intriguing.
It is.
They promote a technique called purposeful daydreaming.
They do.
I'm always looking for new ways to boost creativity.
I hear that.
Yeah.
They believe daydreaming isn't just about escaping reality,
mm-hmm.
but a powerful tool for generating original ideas.
Interesting.
The book itself is designed to cater to diverse thinkers, whether you prefer visual cues
right.
or mental imagery.
Makes sense.
It reminds me of your love for design.
Yeah.
And how visual thinking can enhance the creative process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in the power of visual thinking.
Me too.
But I'm curious, how does purposeful daydreaming actually work?
Right.
What techniques do they recommend?
Mm-hmm.
Is it simply a matter of letting your mind wander, or is there a more structured approach?
Those are great questions.
Yeah.
And ones we'll definitely unpack further.
Right.
But before we do,
let's
wrap up this part of our deep dive by looking at a really interesting initiative.
Right.
The Begin High School Hackathon.
Cool.
About 240 11th grade students participated.
Wow.
And their challenge was to brainstorm peak days.
Okay.
For the following school year.
Peak days.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Think conferences.
Okay.
Workshops.
Yeah.
Field trips.
Got it.
All designed and implemented by the students themselves.
Wow. So they're essentially designing their own educational experiences.
They are.
That's a pretty radical concept.
It is.
But I imagine it comes with its own set of challenges.
Right.
How do they ensure quality control
mm-hmm.
and alignment with educational standards?
That's where the school's core values come in.
Okay.
These peak days have to align with values like building Jewish-Israeli identity.
Okay.
Acquiring life skills.
Mm-hmm.
Fostering belonging.
Right.
And promoting mental resilience.
That makes sense.
And here's the best part.
Okay.
The students pitch their ideas in a startup style.
Cool.
And the winning ideas get funding
wow.
to be implemented the next year.
That's incredible.
Isn't it?
It's like a real-world incubator for educational innovation.
It is.
It challenges traditional educational models
mm-hmm.
and empowers students to take ownership of their learning.
Exactly.
It makes me wonder, could we apply this kind of student-driven approach to curriculum development and other educational settings?
I think that's a great question to ponder as we continue our deep dive into the world of young innovators.
I'm ready.
Stay tuned for more inspiring stories and insights in the next part of our episode.
That Begin High School Hackathon really has me thinking about the potential for student-led innovation in education.
It is.
It's such a shift from that traditional top-down approach.
It is. And, you know, that reminds me of something else we touched on earlier.
Oh, yeah.
That alarming statistic from Professor Friedman
mm-hmm.
about the decline in creativity as we age.
Right, right.
Do you think initiatives like this hackathon could be part of the solution?
It's an interesting thought. Could giving students more ownership over their learning help to combat that decline?
Right.
It certainly aligns with what Friedman emphasizes,
mm-hmm.
breaking free from the always done it this way mindset.
Totally.
Instead of viewing education as something that's done to them,
right.
these students are becoming active creators and problem solvers.
I'm thinking back to my own school days. There wasn't much room for that kind of creative freedom.
Right.
It was all about following the curriculum
mm-hmm.
and getting the right answer.
Yeah.
What if we'd been encouraged to design our own peak days back then?
That's a question worth pondering.
Yeah, right?
It makes me wonder if this type of approach could be adapted for different age groups and subjects.
Yeah.
Imagine elementary school students designing their own field trips.
Oh, wow.
Or middle schoolers leading workshops on topics they're passionate about.
That's a great idea.
Right.
But this whole conversation has me thinking about the role of educators in this new landscape.
Yeah, for sure.
How do teachers adapt to a more student-driven approach to learning?
That's a great question. It requires a shift in mindset.
Right.
From being the sage on the stage to becoming more of a facilitator or guide.
Yeah.
Teachers would need to be comfortable with letting go of some control and embracing the unpredictable nature of student-led exploration.
It would definitely require a lot of trust and flexibility on the part of educators.
For sure.
But I imagine the rewards would be well worth it. Seeing your students blossom as independent thinkers and problem solvers.
Yeah.
That must be incredibly fulfilling.
Speaking of fulfilling.
Yeah.
Let's loop back to our main source.
Okay.
The Future newsletter.
Right.
There's an article that really caught my eye.
Oh, yeah.
About the Young Collaborators podcast series.
Okay.
They actually took their podcast on the road, interviewing young inventors at events like the Connecticut Invention Convention and the Chicago Toy and Game Fair.
That's such a cool idea.
I know, right?
I bet hearing firsthand from these young innovators was incredibly inspiring.
It was amazing.
Did they share any insights that stood out to you?
One quote really resonated with me.
What's that?
If you empower students, they will far exceed your expectations.
Wow.
It speaks to the power of believing in young people.
Right.
And giving them the space and support to flourish.
It makes me think about all the times we underestimate what young people are capable of.
Totally.
We tend to box them in.
Yeah.
With our own preconceived notions of what they should be learning or doing.
Absolutely. And this podcast series is a perfect example of breaking down those barriers.
It is.
They even interviewed an international delegation of students.
Oh, wow.
Demonstrating the global scope of this youth innovation movement.
Right.
It reminds me, you mentioned earlier that we should dive deeper into the specifics of the GYIS hackathon.
Yes.
What were those real-world challenges the students tackled?
Right. They were tasked with developing solutions in three key areas.
Okay.
Food security.
Right.
Sustainable energy. Mm-hmm. And access to education.
Those are some incredibly relevant and pressing issues.
They are.
It's so encouraging to see young people engaging with these challenges head-on.
Right.
Rather than shying away from them.
Totally.
Did any particular solutions stand out to you?
One team developed a solar-powered water filtration system designed for use in remote communities.
Cool.
They combined their knowledge of renewable energy
mm-hmm.
with a deep understanding of the challenges faced by communities lacking access to clean water.
That's fantastic.
It was a brilliant example of how innovative thinking can address real-world problems.
It's not just about coming up with a cool gadget.
Right.
It's about creating solutions that are practical, sustainable, and have the potential to make a real impact.
Totally.
This makes me think about how we define success when it comes to innovation.
Yeah.
Is it about patents and profits, or is it about creating positive change in the world?
That's a profound question.
It is.
And one that I think deserves further exploration.
For sure.
But before we get too philosophical, let's turn our attention to another fascinating young innovator featured in the newsletter.
All right.
Michaela Messina.
Okay.
A seventh grader who invented the pitching pro.
The pitching pro.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Okay.
What is it?
It's a patent-pending invention that upgrades a regular softball pitching rubber.
Okay.
It has a self-retracting string.
Cool.
That helps pitchers set the perfect distance.
That's awesome.
Michaela came up with the idea while pitching in the outfield without a proper bullpen.
That's brilliant.
Isn't it?
It's a simple yet ingenious solution to a common problem faced by softball players.
Right.
It's a perfect example of how inspiration for innovation can come from everyday experiences.
Absolutely.
It reminds me, you mentioned earlier that Invent Future Global provides resources for financial education.
Yes.
I'm curious to learn more about that.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
I think it's so crucial to equip young people with financial literacy skills.
For sure.
The article emphasizes that it's not just about teaching them to save money.
Right.
But about instilling confidence,
mm-hmm.
responsibility, and critical thinking skills.
I completely agree.
Oh, yeah.
It's about empowering them to make informed decisions and become financially responsible adults.
Right.
But how does InventFuture.com Global approach this?
Yeah.
Do they offer workshops or online resources?
They actually advocate for incorporating financial lessons into playtime.
Oh, wow.
They believe that games,
okay,
whether board games, apps,
yeah,
or even DIY activities,
that's a great idea,
are a powerful way to engage kids and make learning fun.
I love that approach. When learning feels like play,
yes,
children are more likely to absorb information,
right,
and develop a genuine interest in the subject matter.
Totally.
It's a far cry from the dry lectures or worksheets.
I know.
We might remember from our own financial education if we had any at all.
Exactly. And speaking of engaging learning experiences,
yes,
the newsletter also highlights the Rube Goldberg Machine Contest.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I know you've always been fascinated by.
Who doesn't love the absurdity of a Rube Goldberg machine?
I know, right?
It's such a creative and playful way to explore engineering and problem-solving concepts. What was the challenge for this year's contest?
Get this.
Okay.
The task for the 2025 contest is to feed a pet.
Oh, wow.
I can't wait to see what kind of wacky contraptions these young minds come up with.
It's sure to be a spectacle, but beyond the entertainment value,
yeah,
these machines represent a deeper principle.
What's that?
The joy of finding complex and unexpected solutions to simple problems.
I love that.
It's a celebration of out-of-the-box thinking and the power of imagination.
Right.
It makes me wonder,
yeah,
do you think there's a place for this kind of playful, unconventional approach?
Yeah.
In more serious fields like scientific research or product development.
That's an intriguing thought.
Right?
Perhaps by embracing a bit of that Rube Goldberg spirit.
Yeah.
We could unlock new levels of creativity and innovation.
Totally.
But we'll have to save that discussion for another time as we've got more to explore in our deep dive. Those Rube Goldberg machines are like the perfect example.
Yeah.
Of how sometimes the most creative solutions come from unexpected places.
Ow.
You know, it's about looking at a problem from a completely different angle.
Exactly. It's a reminder that we shouldn't be afraid,
right,
to break free from conventional thinking.
Yeah.
Even in fields that are traditionally seen as very serious,
right,
or structured,
yeah,
sometimes a little bit of playfulness can spark groundbreaking innovation.
And you know, that ties back to what we were discussing earlier,
mm-hmm,
about the decline in creativity as we age.
Right.
Maybe by embracing that childlike sense of wonder and experimentation,
yeah,
we can keep that creative spark alive.
I think you're onto something.
Yeah.
It's about cultivating a mindset of curiosity,
uh-huh,
and a willingness to try new things.
Right.
Even if they seem a little unconventional.
Totally. It reminds me of that quote.
Oh, yeah.
From the Young Collaborators podcast.
Mm-hmm.
If you empower students, they will far exceed your expectations.
That's true.
Isn't it amazing how much potential young people have when we give them the space and encouragement to explore their ideas?
Absolutely. We've seen so many examples of that in this deep dive.
We have.
From Michaela's Pitching Pro,
right,
to the incredible solutions developed at the GYIS hackathon.
It's truly inspiring.
It is. And it highlights the importance of creating environments,
right,
where young people feel safe to experiment,
yeah,
to take risks,
mm-hmm,
and to think outside the box.
Totally. It's about fostering a culture of innovation.
100%. Not just in schools,
right,
but in our communities and workplaces as well.
I'm thinking back to that question you raised earlier.
Oh, yeah.
How do we define success when it comes to innovation?
Right, right.
Is it about profits and patents?
Yeah.
Or is it about creating positive change in the world?
It's a question that I think we all need to grapple with.
Yeah.
Perhaps true success lies in finding that sweet spot,
mm-hmm,
where innovation meets impact.
Yeah.
Where we're creating solutions that are not only clever and inventive,
mm-hmm,
but also make a meaningful difference in people's lives.
And, you know, a lot of the initiatives we've discussed today are doing just that.
Totally.
They're empowering young people to use their creativity and ingenuity,
yeah,
to tackle real-world problems,
mm-hmm,
whether it's addressing food security,
right,
developing sustainable energy solutions,
yeah,
or simply making learning more engaging.
It gives me hope for the future.
Me too.
It's a reminder that amidst all the challenges we face,
right,
there's a generation of brilliant,
mm-hmm,
passionate young minds,
yes,
who are ready and eager to make their mark on the world.
And it's up to us to support them.
Yeah.
To provide them with the tools and resources they need.
Right.
And to create spaces where their creativity can flourish.
Totally. This deep dive has been incredibly inspiring.
It has.
What are your final takeaways?
For me, it's the reaffirmation that young people are not just the future of innovation.
Yeah.
They are the present.
That's right.
They're already out there creating, inventing, and challenging the status quo.
For sure.
And it's a reminder that we can all learn from their energy.
Absolutely.
Your enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And their willingness to embrace new ideas.
Totally. So what struck you as the most interesting point in this deep dive?
Mm-hmm.
What resonated with you the most?
I think what really stood out to me
is
the emphasis on making learning fun and engaging.
That's a good one.
Whether it's through games, hands-on activities, or student-led projects, it's clear that when young people are genuinely excited about learning, their creativity soars.
It's amazing how powerful that is.
It is. It's a reminder that learning shouldn't feel like a chore.
Right.
It should be an adventure.
Yeah.
A journey of discovery.
I love that.
And when we approach it with that mindset, the possibilities are endless. Imagine a world where every child is encouraged to daydream.
Right.
To remix, to invent.
Yeah.
What could that world look like?
It's a world brimming with possibility, where challenges are seen as opportunities.
Exactly.
And where creativity is the driving force behind progress.
I love it.
And I, for one, am incredibly excited to see it unfold.
Me too. And I have a feeling that the young innovators we've learned about today will be leading the way.
I think so too.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of young innovators.
It was my pleasure.
Until next time, keep exploring.
Yes.
Keep creating.
Keep innovating.
And keep believing in the power of imagination to change the world.